You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully on today's episode, which is being dropped on the 24th day of February, 2021. We are in the midst of spring training, but we are doing a What If Wednesday. What If Wednesday about the performance enhancing drug era, I guess I'll loosely call it. And I have help in this What If Wednesday as I'm bringing in a very talented podcaster on her own right, Emily Nyman, the host of the Breaking Balls podcast. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts. And when you're staying at home during these perfectly normal times, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball, Locked On Today, and heck, I'll throw a bone her way, Locked On Yankees with Stacey Gottsulius. We got a Yankee fan on here. Might as well plug another Yankee podcast. Follow our podcast on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod. Same handle for Twitter. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter. Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. It is What If Wednesday, and I'm going to ask a kind of open-ended question this What If Wednesday, and that is, what if we were more honest about our thoughts and our suspicions of the steroid era? And in order to explain this question a little more clearly, I'm bringing on someone who's been a guest on this podcast and the Bull Durham Minute podcast, which is now over because I've run out of minutes to talk about. My friend in the podcasting world, it's Emily Nyman. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm very happy to be back on the show.
I'm very happy to have you back on the show. Again, you're one of my classic podcasting friends that we've never met in person. We've only been on each other's podcasts and we've only communicate and like each other's stuff and everything. The other day, you and I got into a Twitter debate. It was a Twitter high-fiving session. It was a Twitter we agree session because I guess the topic of PEDs came up in some way, shape, or form. And maybe I don't remember what started it, but you were bringing up the fact that there, if we were honest about PEDs, chances are some of the most beloved figures of recent baseball history would be heavily under scrutiny. And you also stated something that I firmly believe in, which is that people use PEDs and the sort of their holier than thou indignation of PEDs is ways to condemn players that they already hate. So anyway, let's dive into this because I think we have eerily similar thoughts on this.
Yeah. And I know this, it's very, anyone who knows me at all of my podcast or just on Twitter, it's very typical for me to take this stance because I am admittedly my favorite player is Alex Rodriguez. So I find myself, whether intentionally or unintentionally, in conversations about PEDs and legacy often. And the thread that this tweet that you're referring to was in, the original question was, what sports conspiracy theories do you believe in?
That's right.
And I
said that
I believe that there is a conspiracy by MLB to squash more well-known and more beloved players who got popped for PEDs during the 90s and late and early 2000s because they wanted to run with the narrative that only the bad baseball men are the ones who do PEDs. People that everyone already hated, Bonds, Clemens, A-Rod, you name it. So it was easy to say, hey, it's just these guys. Everyone else was clean. So I think that people run with that because for better or for worse, a large majority of the fan base of pro sports are men. And I've found that a lot of men, they need a reason for something. They can't just say, I don't like this guy. And they find that to be a little petty. So I feel like they are always looking for something to say, I don't like him because. So it's like, hey, perfect. I don't like him because he used PEDs. Whether it's Bonds or Clemens or whoever the villains are in our MLB history.
Well, you keep tiptoeing around the main one, which is Canseco. And Canseco, who, by the way, no matter what you think about Canseco, what's he been wrong about on this? He is the Cassandra of baseball. And that I remember when the Senate hearings or the congressional hearings, I forget which House of Congress it was in, where they were having the hearings, the ridiculous hearings on the PED scandal. And one of the things that happened when Mark McGuire famously said he doesn't want to talk about the past, okay. One of the things that he said over and over again is consider the source when referring to Jose Canseco, of which I said, yeah, we're considering it. Everything he has said is coming true. I consider the source of someone who has said, yeah, I'm in the bathroom stall at the Oakland Coliseum injecting God knows what into my body. And
it was a strange sort of skirting of it, as if there was any reason to disbelieve Jose.
Yeah. I mean, and of course, you know, in that, I mean, it's one of these things that you could point to the fact that Canseco, his bitterness about McGuire, who he was being touted as the golden boy who was saving baseball. He and Sosa were saving the game of baseball with the home run chase in 1998. And he's looking back at it going like, he's just as dirty as I am. And of course, that also inspired Bonds, who was this very lean and athletic player who became the first player in baseball history to hit 400 home runs and steal 400 bases, and a grand total of zero people were paying attention to it. And the next day, the next spring training, he shows up looking like he wore one of those inflatable sumo suits that you see that you have at parties. I mean, it's the most, it was so obvious that he had a body transformation. Okay, if you want home runs, I'll hit more home runs than anybody. But there seemed to be such a rush to not implement McGuire when they found the Andro in his locker room. Like the reporter who reported that got death threats. And there was almost this hope that he was going to come in front of Congress and be like, no, I never took it. And the minute he said, I don't want to talk about the past, he might as well have shown exactly where he was injecting this stuff in his body.
And it's always interesting to me what seemed to be the motivation for Bonds. Like you mentioned that everyone else is getting all this attention for saving the game. And he's like, hey, I'm over here. Look at me. So then he comes back blown up like a tick, especially because he was always so surly. He was never like a fan favorite. He was never cordial with reporters. So it's so odd to think about then that moment where he suddenly cared about being the golden boy of MLB. It was bizarre. It's like you've spent the last 10 years not being friendly to anybody that comes in your vicinity. Now all of a sudden you care.
Well, it's so funny because Bonds was always one of my favorite players. And one of the reasons why he was one of my favorite players is because he didn't seem to care. He was just great. Right. And also, I was a huge fan of those Pirate teams. I just loved those Pirates teams. And I love the fact that he was like, I don't care what you think about me. I'm just going to be great. And then when he went to the Giants are my dad's favorite team. May it rest in peace. And my dad's favorite player of all time was Willie Mays. His second favorite, and it actually was close, was Barry Bonds. My dad loved Barry Bonds, and he would not admit that he took Flintstones chewables, let alone did performance-enhancing drugs. And so part of me, it's funny, part of me can never say a bad word about Bonds because he gave my dad so much pleasure. And so, like, I look at him, I see Bonds as this cuddly character because I think of the warmth of my father. And I've told this story before, but I used to watch many, many Giant games with my dad or when I come to visit him and everything. And we'd sit on the couch in Palo Alto. And anytime Bonds was up, like we're at dinner, didn't matter if the Giants are contending or not, we're stopping, Bonds is up. And every single time the ball left the fingers of the pitcher, my dad would just go, gone. Foul ball. Gone. Ball one. Gone. Grounder to second. And eventually Bonds would hit one out and he would turn and say, Did I call it? Yeah, but Dad, you say it for every. Did I call it? So, all right. So, but yeah, I mean, people disliked Bonds back when he was with Pittsburgh. He was kind of this, considered this surly, unpleasant type and everything like that. you know, never got like the endorsements and everything of a player of his caliber. So, and when he was lean and stealing bases, people didn't like him and booed him and everything. And people have always booed A-Rod. Always. When he went to Texas, he always was in the crosshairs.
I would get booed and heckled at Yankee Stadium with an A-Rod jersey on at a Yankee game when he was on the Yankees. I'd have Yankee fans heckling me. And I've always been like, it was just me and A-Rod's mom, basically, that have liked him his entire career. And with A-Rod, well, different with Bonds, but I feel like it got to a point where it's like, all right, you want me to be the villain? Then I'm going to be the villain then. I'm going to come back with a size 8 head, and I'm going to be twice the size that I am now because I'm already hated. So might as well go the full 9.
That's when I liked A-Rod, when he became the heel. That's like, go, embrace it. Love it. Because baseball needs heels. I mean, look, we all have seen that Curt Schilling has, you know, gone off the deep end, of course. But when he was a player, he sort of relished being the heel. He loved that Yankee fans booed him. He loved that he liked that attitude. And to go the other route, Reggie Jackson was that exact same way. It ain't bragging if you can do it. He loved being that player that you booed, but inevitably had to cheer because he did so dang well. Canseco, who I was there living in the Bay Area when Canseco emerged. And I mean, people may have booed him, but you couldn't keep your eyes off of him. And of course,
he was an exciting player.
Canseco and McGuire showing up at the same time. And it was like these two Japanese monsters that were going to stomp on Tokyo suddenly show up. That, you know, home run hitters used to look like Andre Dawson and Jim Rice, or they looked like Steve Balboni. They were either these lean, muscular types or these guys with a belly who were swinging from their heels. You didn't have these Steve Rogers, Lou Ferrigno's showing up, and suddenly more and more players started looking like them. I wonder why. And I know you're a Yankee fan, and I'm the first to admit that Red Sox fans are incredibly obnoxious. But they were ahead of the curve, if you remember, during the 1988 American League Championship Series, were chanting, steroids, steroids, to Canseco. And there was a report during the Kirk Gibson game about whispers of Canseco and steroids. This is 88. This is not strike time. So it was out there.
Isn't that around the time, or was it right before when Piazza, he admitted to the only time, quote unquote, that he used was like in the late 80s or early 90s or so? To think that it was only Canseco is crazy. And that's why it was out there, because it wasn't just him. It was pervasive.
Yeah. And which is going to get to, it's easy to point to the villains. Palmeiro saying, I did not take this, period. When I said what he should have said was, I never took steroids, comma, except those times that I did. I mean, he was one of the more obvious ones, and the ones that become easy villains. Giambi was a strange one because he was such an obvious case, and he was kind of booed early on. Although I always found Giambi to be kind of like Mongo in Blazing Saddles. He was just this big, dumb dude who showed up from, where did he go? Cal State, Long Beach, wherever the heck he was from. And showed up, oh, golly, I'm an Oakland A. And his teammates were both Canseco and McGuire. It's like, oh, Mr. McGuire, Mr. Canseco, what are you injecting in yourself? Is that what we do? And then suddenly,
for him.
Yeah. And when he decided to go cold turkey on steroids in 2004, when he kept getting these, he's injured, he's sick. Lisa Swan of Subway Squawker said it was like the scene in the Blues Brothers, where it's like, an old friend came out of town, my car ran out of gas. Like, every excuse you could give, when it was obvious he went cold turkey off of steroids and his body is falling apart. Hey, Jason Burke of Locked On A's. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very good, Sully of Locked On MLB.
Well, guess what? I need to sometimes do some work on my car, but I don't want to spend a mint on that. Times are tough, and chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers like us. You love to fix your car, don't you? You like to pop the hood, get it going in there, right?
Oh, so much.
Yeah, that's totally us. RockAuto.com's prices, are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest price possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Guess what? They have everything from engine control modules. Do you know what they are?
No idea.
Me neither. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even a new carpet.
I got that one. I know what that one is.
Yes, that's what I have on my head. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. What's that website?
RockAuto.com.
RockAuto.com. It's a family business. Hey, it's Jason Burke of Locked On A's. How you doing, man?
It's very good. Sully of Locked On MLB.
Yeah. Didn't mean to take you by surprise there. I'm feeling super energized. You know why? I just had myself a Built Bar.
Oh, they're so good. Have you had the Cherry Barcia?
I'm doing Cherry Barcia is fine. My favorite one's the raspberry. The raspberry is that's my favorite flavor. Although I love the lemon almond cheesecake. I love the orange. We're liking all the ones with fruit in them. Look at that.
They get me going.
They get you going. They get to go. Their bars are covered 100% chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. But guess what? What's that? They're healthy. You're a health conscious guy.
Health conscious.
I'm looking to lose and or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie. Boom. Low sugar. Bam. High protein. What? High fiber. Yeah. And it's great for the keto diet. Let's just let's take a flavor at random. You said Cherry Barcia.
I did. Well,
17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams in net carbs. You could burn that off doing a podcast. So guess what? You get a free cooler with purchase, but only while supplies last. Do you know where you go to get these?
No. Where do I go for these Built Bars, Sully?
Well, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for how much?
20% off at BuiltBar.com.
February is Black History Month, and the Locked On Podcast Network is honoring the challenges and success of Black men and women in sports with a new series called Locked On Presents More Than the Game. Right now, you can hear Candace Cooper of Locked On Tar Heels and Eric Ayala of Locked On Women's Basketball discuss the opportunities and challenges that come with being a Black woman in sports. Subscribe to the Locked On Presents podcast feed on the radio.com app, or wherever you get podcasts.
I think a grand total of 2 players from the PED era would surprise me. It would legitimately surprise me. Ichiro would surprise me.
Yeah. Surprising the fact that they clearly didn't work since he was thin as a rail.
Yeah. And Julio Lugo would surprise me because he stunk. Because if Julio Lugo was using them, then they just don't work.
That's been my thing with PEDs too, is that if it doesn't really work that well or the player is not good, it's like it doesn't count. People don't care if so-and-so used PEDs because they were a middle-of-the-road player. It only matters and it only really affected their performance if they were really good.
Only affected them if they broke a record.
Right.
Because that's almost the thing, like you broke Roger Maris's record, you broke Hank Aaron's record, you passed 600 home runs, you passed 5, whatever it is. That's what they care about. They don't necessarily, Gary Sheffield, who was part of the Balco and was very obviously one of them, never gets the same heat because he wasn't the one hitting 70 home runs. I think they're ones who are like, you look at it, go like, oh yeah, they probably prolonged his career. And I will also say this, I am not a holier than thou person about PEDs. Clearly, I was a Red Sox fan rooting for Ramirez and Ortiz. And I wrote back in 07, by the way, Red Sox fans, get ready because it's going to fall on Ortiz pretty soon. Like this very obvious case. I mean, and I loved him. I loved him. Much like you all loved Pettit. But.
And I love A-Rod, so.
You love A-Rod. I love Manny. I love Bonds, Christ's sakes. But, and if I found out when you take a look at like a super popular podcaster like Mark Maron, if I found out that if I took a certain drug, I would get as many downloads as Mark Maron's podcast, where do I get that drug? We would all do it.
Especially with millions on the line.
Yeah.
And also the sort of like mentality, obviously I've never been a professional athlete, but the sort of mentality it takes to get to that upper echelon of the world-class talent level takes a focus and a drive that's like these guys, A-Rod wanted to hit 800 home runs. This one wanted to hit 700 home runs. So that sort of drive, that's literally, they have blinders on their entire life. So they'll take anything to get there.
Well, beyond the ones, I 100% agree with you, but beyond the ones who are trying to hit 600, 700, 800 home runs are the people who get to the majors and want to stay. Those are the people you think of like, God, I mean, there's only 25 spots on this roster. There's only 30 teams. There's only so many spots for me. I don't want to go back. You were on the Bull Durham podcast, which a whole chunk of it was about the bitterness of Crash Davis, that he only got a taste of the major leagues and was spending the rest of his life in the minors. Think of all the Crash Davises out there who thought, like, when he has the great speech where it's like, if I just got one more hit a week, I'd be at Yankee Stadium, who are thinking, well, maybe injecting this will be the thing that will let that ball sail a little farther. It obviously, I couldn't inject something and become a 300 batter with an OPS around 900. But if you're already good enough and then suddenly you get that little boost. And of course, the other thing is it keeps people, the injury factor, that it helps you recover from injuries, which is the apologist for Andy Pettit kept saying, well, he did it to come back from injuries. It's like, well, yeah. And
exactly. They all do it for some reason. That's the thing. They all do it for what they think is a positive reason. That's why they're doing it. So when people then arbitrarily draw that line, and Yankee fans love to do that because they hate on A-Rod and they'll semi hate on Clemens, not really, but they never have a word to say poorly about Andy Pettit. And it's always, oh, well, he did it to recover. It's like, okay, so did X, Y, and Z players. That's why they all did it after a certain point.
Oh, if you want to see anger from Yankee fans, I've had what I call the Yankee Red Sox bargain, which is we get Ortiz, you get Pettit. You can't jump on Ortiz. We won't jump on Pettit. It's kind of like, don't make fun of the kid who had the tragedy in his family. Like, don't, it's hands off. And when I made that sort of, because they retired Pettit's number, they retired Ortiz's number. Andy Pettit, from all accounts, seems like a good guy. One was a great postseason performer. Yeah, I mean, he got bombed sometimes, but they don't win that 96 World Series without him. They don't get to, he was ALCS MVP, won so many big, huge games for him. Of course, Ortiz's resume speaks for itself. And when I said, all right, you get Pettit, we get Ortiz. Pettit only did it once and he cried while he was doing it and was praying during the process. And he said, you can't call him a juicer. And I would point out, he kept crisscrossing the country with Clemens. Like, you know, hey, Roger, where are we going now? Where are we going now? Where are we going now?
They literally were like, let's play on the same team together.
Constantly. Let's go to Houston. Let's come back. All right. Well, we talked about this all stemmed from the conspiracy theories and some truly beloved players being covered up. I brought this up back in 2013. Okay. So it was 8 years ago I brought this up. But I'm going to bring it up again now. We talk about PEDs being used and players who are getting to a certain age suddenly get a boost, find that fountain of youth, and suddenly are playing at a later age in their life at an elite level, or playing with a certain durability that they never get injured, and they play every single day, even if they're playing a difficult position physically. And if I pointed out that there was a player he was playing one of the hardest physical positions to play every day, day in, day out, whether they're contending or not, whether Kevin Costner's stooping his wife or not, throw another conspiracy theory out there. Sorry, I'll get in trouble with that. I don't care. Sue me. And say it under oath. No matter what, he's playing. And a big chunk of this, when suddenly his stats are also, he's hitting even more homers now during the 90s. Hey, who's in the dugout congratulating him? Is that Rafael Palmeiro? I think it is. And then Palmeiro was also teammates with another guy who was, he's in his 40s and he's doing stuff that nobody's ever done before. And said, well, nobody works out harder than them. Nobody. It's all discipline. It's all hard work. They work, they're in the gym all the time. And you're like, something about that doesn't feel right. And what if there was another guy who was also kind of a skinny kid? In fact, he was available in a trade because the organization said, I don't see this guy being a power hitter, even though he's a local kid. Be a big story, but suddenly he goes to another team and befriends Ken Caminiti, and it's the skinny kid suddenly looks like Paul Bunyan, and it's 400 some on home runs, is in the Hall of Fame. If I remove the names of these people, you'll say, yeah, those are clearly BED users. And yet, who am I speaking about?
Well, I know two for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Cal Ripken Jr.
Yep.
And Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan. The other is Jeff Bagwell.
And didn't he admit to it also? Didn't he say
say you want to make a Houston fan angry. Well, if you want to make a Houston fan angry, tell him that 2017 doesn't count. But if you also want to make him angry, bring up Bagwell. So he's an obvious case. I mean,
yeah, I never really thought about Ken Griffey Jr. until you brought it up.
Well, I didn't say Ken Griffey Jr. I didn't say Ken Griffey Jr. Although Griffey Jr. is one of my favorite players. I love him to death, and the one thing in his favor is that his stats started to decline in his 30s because of injuries. If he was taking roids to come back from injuries, he was taking very, very bad roids. But Piazza, the incredible feel-good story of he was drafted as a favor because his dad was friends with Tommy Lasorda, and he suddenly becomes this great player, Hall of Fame caliber player. Intensely likable guy who hits the big home run after 9/11 to lift our spirits and everything up, you know, and every one of my Italian relatives has the Mets 31 jersey. I mean, he's the most beloved Italian player in generations. And yeah, he's suddenly this kid who was not a prospect. He was a favor, suddenly emerges and becomes an elite Hall of Fame slugger. With back acne?
Yeah, and even he, and I think it was in his book, he admitted to the quote-unquote, just like Pettit, one time he used to do Android or take Androids or something before it was cared about by MLB. And it's, if you believe when these guys say they only did something one time, I have a bridge in Brooklyn to sell
it
you.
It doesn't
as well.
Work one time. It isn't Captain America. You have to take it in cycles. Yeah, it is. That's
the thing.
I did it once. I'll go grab some steroids. I'll do them once tonight. I come back. You come see me tomorrow. I'm not going to be, hey, Emily, they work. No, that's not. You have to take it. And then you work out harder than anybody else. And it builds everything up. I mean, it doesn't make sense to say you only did it once. And I don't blame Mike Piazza. I don't blame Andy Pettit. The culture that had it was going on that way. Any more than I blame Henry Aaron and everyone for taking greenies during the 70s when that wasn't illegal either. Okay? I want everyone to understand. But at the same time, if we're more honest about something, Nolan Ryan and Cal Ripken are the two most obvious PED candidates ever. They tick every single box. And
except the most important box is being lovable. So that's why one cares.
Oh, Ripken saved baseball. And there was a whole generation. Nolan Ryan was basically the baseball answer to every Clint Eastwood film of, I'm going to show those whippersnappers I still got it. Like every Clint Eastwood film that he made from Unforgiven on is, the plot is, I'm going to show these whippersnappers I still got it. And Nolan Ryan was that. And we all remembered he got a big uptick in his career. I mean, he was still obviously, I mean, he led the league in strikeouts in 87 with Houston. But then when he comes to Texas, and he's what, in his mid-40s at this point? and then striking out all those batters, throwing out those no-hitters. Every old guy in the world is like, yeah, he does it right. He beats Robin Ventura's head. He's a man's man.
American gumption.
Yeah, it does. It endorses everything that isn't nailed down. And Cal Ripken has those Paul Newman eyes, plays in Baltimore. He's the local kid. His dad was a coach under Earl Weaver. He's from Baltimore. And he's a, do you know what? I can finally feel good about baseball again because he plays every day as if he never gets hurt. Wow, that's almost superhuman that a man never gets hurt. I wonder if he got any help. Give him another high five, teammate Rafael Palmeiro, teammate Brady Anderson. I mean,
oh, yeah, Brady Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look at the back of Brady Anderson's baseball card. 8 home runs, 9 home runs. Now they're like, 57 home runs. They're like, I mean, again, I'm not blaming him, but we're selective. And I've made this point that, and you and I made the exact same point, which is why I think I sent you a direct message right then and said, come on the podcast. We made the same point, which is it's just there as an excuse. You're not mad at these players because of steroids. You're mad at them because you don't like them.
Right. And with the guys that obviously used, you're going to just completely ignore that and just pretend that just they were the two anomalies out of literally almost 20,000 Major League Baseball players in history of the game. These two guys were able to maintain that level of play into their 40s.
Yeah.
Like, give me a break. But hey, they didn't get caught or they were never even thought of. So we're going to get skewered for this podcast, by the way.
I think no one was ever suspicious of them because they didn't want to be suspicious of them. The same way that I'm protective of Ken Griffey Jr. because I saw Ken Griffey Jr. play as a minor leaguer. He was always one of my favorite players. And if I found out that he did PEDs, my heart would sink. My friend Gar Reness, who's his alter ego, is the batting stance guy. He does all the videos where he imitates the batting stances. He told me that when he meets players and talking about who do you like, who's a nice player, it's almost like the movie The Manchurian Candidate, the way everyone says, Jim Tomey's the nicest player who's ever lived. He's the nicest person who's ever played baseball. And like he's got the point that they almost all say it with the same cadence. Again, look at, I don't know Jim Tomey. He seems like, from all accounts, seems like the nicest guy you'll ever meet. When I keep hearing people say, he did it clean. How do we know that? He was playing alongside all these players in the steroid era he's hit 600 home runs. I have no problem with Jim Tomey's in the Hall of Fame. I always thought he was a fun, exciting player. He always scared the crap out of me when he would play against the Red Sox, and he had no shortage of home runs against the Red Sox in the postseason. Mo Vaughn was one of my favorite players. I love Mo Vaughn. Mo Vaughn was awesome. Of course. Of freaking course. But the fact that, you're right, we're going to get skewered for this, for even burping the names Ripken and Ryan.
And I can't even talk about this without being nailed for being an A-Rod fan. That's always what people say, that I'm trying to make excuses. And I promise I'm not. But I've always said that so-and-so, when they'll say, well, so-and-so did it clean or the right way. And I always try to correct, no, we don't know that. They possibly didn't get caught. We don't know who did it clean. We only know of guys who got caught. And we assume that everyone was tested and that MLB is suddenly on the level with how they handle things. They've never done it before with anything else, but this is where they are just like Boy Scouts up there and they're telling the truth about everything as if it's not a private corporation that can do whatever they want with their own information. So, but people then just say, oh, you're just an A-Rod fan. You just want everyone to have done it. So that excuses him. And it's not really why I'm on this crusade at all, but I guess I'll wear that one if people really need me to.
Well, I'm not defending A-Rod here, but I'm certainly going to defend you in your position here. That the thing that you remember in 07, when Bonds passed Aaron on the list and A-Rod opted out of his contract during the World Series between Boston and Colorado. I'm just pointing out that Boston won that World Series. And A-Rod opted out. And then no one else was bidding. And the Yankees gave him, they signed him until the heat death of the universe. And one of the things that was said by not just by Boris, but by several other people, because there was such bitterness about Bonds passing Aaron, the beloved Aaron, was that there was, Boris said this, but a bunch of other reporters said this too, is that A-Rod had a chance to pass Bonds and he was going to be a clean home run hitter. That the tint of it was not on him yet. And I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here. They were booing A-Rod already. They were booing A-Rod since before he slapped the ball out of Arroyo's glove. I was at that game, by the way. He was long before that. And so this sort of retroactive, we hate him because of roids, is just factually inaccurate. It is factually inaccurate. And I think people turned on Sosa because he walked out of a game at Wrigley when he was still under contract. He left the ballpark. But then the steroid allegations came about on that. And then, oh, they tacked it on that. But no, it was before that. He was beloved. If that didn't happen, Sosa would be in that Jim Thome category of you're not allowed to criticize him because we all love him.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. And A-Rod's, it's so funny because people, like you said, they've always hated him. And then it's not even just steroids with A-Rod. It's also that, oh, he sued the team. Everyone suddenly cares about that as if they care about the legality of what the Yankees lawyers are doing. So it's just, like you said, they'll forever excuse players that they like. And I don't think that'll ever change. And it's only going to get worse next year when Poppy and Rodriguez are both on the Hall of Fame ballot. Then we're going to have to hear about A-Rod being the bad man because of steroids, but then Poppy will get in, or this one, they'll pretend to care about steroids, but it's just, I'm not looking forward to it, but I sort of am.
Pudge Rodriguez is in, and we know that he was one of the people. And like, and I think Pudge Rodriguez
played with A-Rod.
Yeah. I played with a lot. I think he should be in. I think Pudge Rodriguez should be in. I think he is a Hall of Fame catcher. Just like I think, not only do I think A-Rod should be in the Hall of Fame, I'll say something here. He's the greatest third baseman in Yankee history. Who's ahead of him? Nettles? Stop. Brocious? Stop. You're going to go back to what? I mean, Andy Carey? Come on. Who are we talking about? We're talking about, you're not going to throw Aurelio Rodriguez at me. You're not going to throw Charlie Hayes at me. We've got Wade Boggs in Boston. So who's the greatest third baseman in the history of the Yankees is Alex Rodriguez. And you do your all-time Yankee team. You could make the argument he was the greatest shortstop in Yankee history, but he never got to play there because Jeter wouldn't move over. Mr. Team First Jeter.
Oh yeah.
But
and it's to me what's important, it's not to dash the dreams of people whose favorite players didn't have the hint of steroids. It's not about that. It's about realizing that what ends up happening now is we have almost a lost generation of players, especially when it comes to immortalizing their careers in the Hall of Fame, because they're not letting the guys who are at the top who used PEDs in, but then the guys who weren't as good and were getting overshadowed by that generation of players who, hey, they could have possibly never used, or maybe they did, you don't know. They're also not letting them in.
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, well then no one from the early 2000s is going to get into the Hall of Fame. Just these fringe players that are a joke in comparison to the players that are being skipped over because of PEDs or because of this other X, Y, or Z. So it's important to realize that, hey, a lot of guys were using, not just these guys. And these guys were still that good. They were facing guys who were middle of the road players, but they were also juicing too. So
yeah,
something's got to give, I feel like. It can't just be this lost generation.
Well, before I'll leave you on this, my solution for Bonds has been simple. And I used to say jokingly, and now I'm 100% serious. Every year, the Giants should give him an at-bat and restart his Hall of Fame clock. Because eventually, the people who are the Shaughnessys and all the people who are the biggest guardians, they're going to die. Or retire, maybe not even in that order. And eventually the people who followed baseball, I think you can't vote for the Hall of Fame, an era of the Hall of Fame, that you weren't covering baseball during that era. I believe if you were not writing about baseball during the era that these players on the ballot were playing their prime, you don't get a vote. I don't get a vote about the 50s. If you have to, if you say, I wasn't watching it then, I don't know who these guys are, or I don't like them. In my day, they were clean or whatever. Give Barry Bonds an at-bat every year. Because trust me, I watched a bunch of Giants games the last few years. He's better than anyone they've been playing in left field now. But even as a pinch hitter, or if they're playing in DH in an American League ballpark, yeah, but Barry Bonds, come up. Come on. Restart the clock. Restart the clock with A-Rod. Restart the clock with everyone. And the back of their baseball card would be ridiculous. He's like, he played for 40 years? Yeah, but only that bat here or there. But there you go. Restart his clock until we get some sanity here. And, but yeah, so that's my, our what if is, what if people were honest about the people who took steroids, both good and bad, heroes and villains? I don't love
the wrong question.
Yeah, I don't love Ortiz any more or less. I mean, exactly. The happiness that Ortiz and Ramirez gave me, the happiness that Bonds gave my dad, I'm glad they took it. I reminded of a guy who called WFAN during that time when the Yankees lost Giambi in 04 because he went cold turkey on the roids. And a guy called up and said, I don't care that he took steroids. I'm mad that he stopped.
Exactly. I love A-Rod and I love all those players because they bring excitement to the game. I don't want to see singles. They have their place in the game, obviously, but home runs are exciting. That's never going to change.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, in the end, and let's never lose sight of this. In the end, a baseball team's job is to give us a summer, is to give us entertainment during the summer. I will never understand the people who have the championship or bust mentality with their teams. Their job is to entertain you for the summer. And if you get Sosa, McGuire, Ripken, Bonds, Canseco, Ramirez, Ortiz, Giambi, A-Rod, Bagwell, all these people gave those fan bases fun summers. And they did their job. And so let's be honest about it. You're a huge Ripken fan. Great. But you know, if we find out he was doing it, it's not going to make his record any less impressive, but don't get mad at us for raising the incredibly obvious question, which is really, really? He was clean? Really? He was clean? Well, look at Emily Nyman. I love having you on the show. I love having you on the show. I said, we'll do about 15, 20 minutes. Well, I think we're in hour three of this conversation. But
I could literally talk about this every day.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I knew getting you on this show was going to be fun, was going to be a lot of fun. You see, people who grew up Red Sox fans and Yankee fans, we can get along. What is the unifying thing? Steroids. Steroids are what get us all.
Bringing people together across the nation.
Emily, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter. My personal is at mshedoesit, E-M-S-H-E-D-O-E-S-I-T. And my podcast, Breaking Balls, is available on all major podcasting networks. And you can find that page on Twitter at BreakBallsPod.
And it's a really fun podcast.
We have episodes every Saturday.
Yeah, it's a really fun podcast. It's a lot of fun to listen to. And one of these days, you and I will meet in person and hopefully go to a ball game together. Maybe
that would be awesome.
Maybe in a neutral site like Kansas City. But anyway, you can follow us at the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app and check us out on Twitter at LockedOnMLBPod. I'm your pal, Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. This has been an episode of Locked On MLB, where we incriminate some of the most beloved Hall of Famers of all time. Send your angry emails to me, info@sullybaseball.com. If you're mad at me, don't take it out on Emily. She's going through enough. She's going through enough knowing that the Yankees are once again not going to win the pennant this year. This has been Locked On MLB for the 24th day of February 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.